Let us pray. We should do a study tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. We open up our hearts to you. Lord, thank you for the wonderful working of your Holy Spirit, the effectual working, that through the Word your Spirit can teach and you can instruct us in the way we should go. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit and really the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead and guide, and that your Word would give that instruction, reproof, correction, training, equipping, all that we need. So we look to you, and as we receive how you've been teaching in this book to be your servants, and we pray tonight that we would not stumble or falter according to our affections in our day, but that we would hold fast to you, and we'd listen to your Holy Spirit in each and every circumstance. And we would know your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, that we might walk with you. Just thank you and praise you. Ask to be taught by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and 9. In your Bibles. You guys do bring Bibles to church, right? Okay. Just checking. Yeah, I bring four of them. I don't know. How many you got? You got that one that's strapped to your ankle, just in case of an emergency? Yeah. There you go. That's why you wear that big, thick, heavy jacket. Let's go. Matt never asks his wife, hey, do you have? Do you have the kitchen sink in there? 1 Samuel chapter 8 says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was Jehovah is God. The name of the second is Jehovah is my father. And when we read the Bible, we don't hear the meanings of the names. Joel and Abiah, they were judges in Beersheba, which is southern Israel. So if you understand the geography of where Samuel was ministering, mostly in north of Jerusalem, Beersheba's way down in the south. And so just to kind of set this before you, it again states that he was old. Look back at verse 15 of chapter 7. All of his life, he judged Israel. He served God all of his life. And remember, his life's accomplishment is in getting the people to return to God, and God helped them, and God delivered them, and God saved them. And I just set before you, we go from Samuel being a baby, right, in chapter 2 to being an old man in chapter 8. We don't know much about his life. We only get a couple of things. Now, I just want you to write there, over to the right of verse 1, he is not done. Okay? I want you to write that down. So the psalmist declares, again, as you think of the Psalms, that we could be fruitful into our old age. Was it fat and flourishing, right? Or fresh and flourishing, fat's much better, fat and flourishing, right? But there's no reason to think that Samuel is done. But I believe it's a contrast by the work of the Holy Spirit that's in here. And if we take a look at this, his sons walked not in his ways. Chapter 8, verse 3. His sons, who have great names, great heritage, great father, it must be their mom's fault. No, doubt that. We don't know anything about her, right? We don't know anything about family life, nor should we assume anything. See, when you read through the Bible, don't put in what's not there. Okay, for whatever reason, these two sons do not walk in his ways. But he placed them as judges over Israel, and so they're hearing the matters that others are bringing up before the Lord. Remember when Moses would sit out in the wilderness, and every case that a man had against another, or one had against another, they would bring those cases to Moses, and he would hear their cases and tell them what the Lord said. He would judge them. And his father-in-law saw what he was doing, and how he stood before the people all day long, and he did that all day long, and he wore the people out, and he was told again, and then he prayed and found out, and he raised up 70 others to bear that burden with him. So here are the two boys. If you'll notice that in verse 3, not only are they not walking in his ways, and we're going to get Samuel's ways at the end of his life. Samuel's going to declare, I never took anything from anybody. I never once. Again, even as you would understand that, his sons are in a contrast. They turned aside after lucre. Again, you think of that as greed and covetousness. And they took bribes and perverted judgment. Proverbs have a lot to say about that, and in regards to even the New Testament declares really the ways of justice, righteousness. And here you have his boys walking in the sins of greed and covetousness. They more are acting like Eli's boys rather than Samuel's boys. Now, just take heed unto this as we study this, and just encourage you. That's a big deal for God on this perverting of judgment. Okay, God is righteous and just, right? And this is important, even as we would consider the backdrop to chapter 8 is they end up looking for a political solution to a spiritual problem. Sound familiar in our world? Sound familiar that Christians would seek out a political solution for the spiritual problem? Now, no doubt about this. This is bad government by Joel and Abiah. As you look at this, the elders gather together, elders of Israel gather together, verse 4. They gather themselves to Samuel unto Ramah, and they said unto him, Behold, thou art old. Now, I don't think they're winning him over right there. Right? This is the same old of which, again, you got Zechariah and Elizabeth in the New Testament, the idea that they were old, and they have John the Baptist when they're old. Sarah was old. Abraham was old. Moses didn't start the ministry until he was 80. I'm just going to write here, Samuel's not done yet. Now, the people don't want him anymore, but he's not done. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, just political solution for a spiritual problem. Now, what am I talking about? Look back at 7 verse 3. Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, put away the strange gods, okay? Put away the Ashtaroth, the Baals, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he'll deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Spiritual solution. Now, straight up, honest, what's the problem with America? Sin. Plain and simple. You can try all you want to think that, and maybe you even like, I don't know, maybe you like the current administration and their ability to stop spending so much money. At least that's what's being presented, and some are upset because they're not spending money. Okay? And you might think, finally. Well, we had a word of prophecy on December 13th that we were going to experience something very similar to the calm in the eye of a storm of a hurricane. And we have a choice to how we look at things. And again, I just look right here. And I invite you in your Thompson chain to turn back to 39:14 in your chain, unless you're in Spanish, then the numbers are all off. I put my marker there because I was going to go there, and I marked it so I could get there earlier because I knew I was going there. Now, spiritual solution. And here I'm going to demonstrate to you The man that they end up choosing for king, if you talk with people from Israel today, they won't even acknowledge that Saul was their first king. They just go right to David's the first king. They somehow can overlook, just like us, we can overlook quite easily a lot of things. So my call to us is if you come through this chapter tonight and you think that this political solution has given the peace and the calm that the world needs and that we need as Christians, I'm going to say in the spirit tonight, you're absolutely wrong. Now is the time to not miss the previous call to put away the idols and serve God only. Now, as I described that, the real issue at hand here is worldliness, if you will. Because there's a phrase in 1 Samuel 8:5, make us a king to judge us. Now, if that was it, then you're like, okay, we need a different authority structure, right? We need someone with more authority to judge us. But that's not what they're saying, like all the nations. Now, you can cross-reference that with, in this same chapter, we'll be back to that in verses 19 and 20, like all the nations. Like the world. Now you've heard me say this, and I'll be very clear, okay? And this is my word to us as church. The church is Jesus' church. Okay? Now, much of the church growth models, and the one I'm going to bring to your attention very clearly, because it's prominent and it's the lasting longer than purpose driven church, and yeah, the guy who started purpose-driven church continues to say dumb things, if I can just be that bold. Okay? But the other one is that seeker-sensitive model, which taught the church how to use the same resources that are used in the world that they use to build large corporations and structures and leadership. Leadership became the buzzword. Now, I'm pretty certain that I've never tried to convince any of you in here, would you like to be in leadership? I think you're a leader. And when churches are doing that, this is how I look at verse 5. Like all the nations. Give us a king like all the nations. The way the world does things. Now, all I can get stuck in my head, and again, I can't get it out, and so I'm not going to try to get it out, but Jesus described very clearly as he's heading to the cross, he said, now the ruler of this world is coming and he has no part in me. Now, maybe you understand why I am the way I am, to separate for us wisdom from above versus wisdom of this world. In fact, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So I exhort all of you tonight, encourage all of you, right, in looking for a worldly solution, or do what we did in worship. Lay every burden down. Cast it upon him. Pour your heart out to God in worship, and whatever you're carrying, whatever trouble you're going through, lay your burden down. And then I'll exhort you, don't pick it back up again. Can God handle every circumstance in your life? Or do you need to look for a worldly solution? 39:14. Warnings against worldliness. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So more warnings. Luke 21:34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Now, are you getting ready, men, for this year's men's conference? Knowing that the Holy Spirit prepared a work last year and did a great work, and it was not an easy work, and some would even say, I don't like that work, and some said, that's not God. Interesting. Now, why I say this is there's a warning here. Even as you might be liking the way things have gone for you in the last couple months, or maybe you're not liking them, I don't know. But my encouragement to you is to look for the spiritual solution. Colossians 3:2, more warnings against worldliness. Do you really want the ruler of this world? Wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, or demonic or devilish. When Jesus was pressed because his power was undeniable, that with a word he could cast out devils, and he was pressed with a lie. You cast out demons by the ruler of demons, Beelzebub. And he lays it out that that would be a split in Satan's kingdom. He says, but if there's a real power of God, now I believe in a real power of God. So Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Political solution or spiritual solution? You know what a misdiagnosis does for the world? Ensures the Antichrist is going to have a solution. You hear that? But when you walk in the truth and in the light and you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness. I would love to see someone brave enough to just really call out everything. Oh, that's because of sin. That's sin against God. That's sin in the world. You know, why does that airplane turn upside down? Why the crash? All that stuff. What do you mean that there's sin in this world? Yeah, because people aren't supposed to die, but people die because of sin, because sin entered and then death entered through sin, and then you're in a conversation maybe, or maybe you're not in a conversation and you're chased away. You know. So Titus 2:12, more warnings against worldliness, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm so glad that was written, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, so we don't have to live that way now. That the present world was then. See, how do you read your Bible? Okay. Now, at some place here, the Word of God either is the Word of God or it's not. As my pastor declares, he says, either God's Word has all the answers or it has none of them. Because if you can pick and choose, then you've just made yourself king. Now, enough on that. Let's go on to 39:16. Just two down, 39:14 to 39:16. Does anybody need a Thompson Chain Bible? Everybody's got one? Nobody needs one? Okay, does anybody want one? I guess need and want. Okay, everybody's good, huh? Wow. Okay, so then 39:16, let's go on. Give us a king, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, 1 Samuel 8:6. And when they said, give us a king to judge us. Now that word there for displeased, it is derived out of his eyesight, which is interesting. Okay? So not well pleasing in his eyes that the elders would be for him seeking for a political, worldly, sinful imitation that the people of God should now listen to the leaders of business as they form church. Seeker-sensitive model. Started out that they had leaders of church addressing at their leadership conference. The last one I looked up, and that's the last one I'm going to look up, and I just would see because all the large churches, large evangelical churches in this town simulcast or advertise to watch. Now, they don't anymore because Bill Hybels blew chunks. Okay, we usually say stumbled in sin. No, he was raising up women pastors and discipling women pastors at conferences and taking medications and luring them to his room. Or maybe you didn't read the articles. Okay? Now, I'm just going to lay this out for us in this way. This thing doesn't please Samuel. Okay? Now, I'm not pleased when the church goes after the world. I mean, one of the things that I'm working with you all the time is discipling and walking. We shouldn't be living like the world. Right? You just go right from the beginning. I mean, again, this warning, Book of Judges, like pleading with you not to live like unbelievers live. There should not be anything in our lives. Again, you think of the way the world does business, or the world does cheating, stealing, lying, defrauding, how they date. Again, whatever the world's doing, again, this is the call. And they're asking for a king to be like the rest of the world. Give us a king to judge us. Now, I simply offer to you the same word I would say that's in the prophecy from December 13th. Pray. You have a choice. You can comfort yourself in a false comfort that this calm that we're in right now is going to last, and my life is easy and comfortable, and let's keep this going. It's not going to continue. How do I know that? Because in the last days, perilous times are coming. Now, what you maybe don't see, and this is a pivotal moment, that the people of God are in a pivot. However they come out of this, they're like, give us a king. Your boys aren't walking the way you do. They could have been judged by somebody else. They could have set up. But yet they look at the world and say, I want that. And what's the key? The key, same thing with December 13th prophecy, right, is prayer. And right there, end of verse 6, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now this is my exhortation to you, pray and obey. Pray and obey the Holy Spirit. Okay, now's not the time to just go with the flow. Now's not the time to say, well, the world's interest rates are down, the world's investing. Oh, venture, I can do this, I can. Christians living like the world does not work. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel. So it's amazing. Prayer, now. Answer, now. You're hearing that part? And the Lord said unto Samuel. Now, somewhere over here, verse 7, if you as a believer, again, I'll exhort again and again, you need the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back to heaven, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, how did he come? By his Holy Spirit, the Spirit to live within each and every believer. You should know the Holy Spirit. You should be able, as you pray, to be as bold to say, as Samuel declares, the Lord said unto me. Okay? Why biblical decision making? I'm doing everything I can to help you make decisions not after the pattern of the world. Some of you are sign seekers and you don't know it. Okay? You think God's going to give you a sign that's how you know what you're supposed to do. I just remind you, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. He can make something look like a sign. Ask Joshua and the children of Israel as they saw the sign that this people of Gibeah were from far away, only to find out they should never have made a covenant with him. Things can look a certain way. So Samuel, the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. And then in the middle of that verse go, huh? How could God, right, say something different than is pleasing to me? Easy. Right? You're not God. Okay? How did you know that was God's voice and God's will? Well, I liked it. That doesn't work that way. Right? Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. So how was Samuel praying? That word displeased him. He's praying unto God how bad this is. Now, I don't know. I know that as I watch the news in this country, I know they're squawking more and more about what's going on in the world. I wonder if Christians are praying more and more over what's going on in the world. Because when I look at this, I see Samuel ramps up prayer, and I'm concerned that Christians aren't going to sense the urgent need in prayer. I sense there was a big wave of prayer before this election. And I don't know what's happening now. But here's my encouragement. Again, you can tell how Samuel's praying. God's answered him. They have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. Now look at that last phrase in 7. And this is the issue. Even as I would much talk and say that sin is the problem in the world, why can't you mention sin? Well, because if you mention sin, then there has to be somebody to sin against who is right and there is a wrong. And therefore, if you mention sin, you're almost guaranteeing that the Holy Spirit could convict somebody of sin and that there is a God. So don't mention any of it. In fact, there are so many things in the world that are absolutely designed to reign over you with a lie. And they rejected that God should not reign over them. In asking for a king, God reveals what it is to Samuel, and he says, they don't want me. They don't want me reigning over them. Now, do you understand that? This world hates you. Okay? And you have to repeat that. You have to know that, because Jesus says, don't be surprised when the world hates you because it hated me first. Now, if the world loved you, then you would be of the world. So there has to be a bit, again, as I would say, taking the word, deepening that shallow heart and that affliction and trials that you would, maybe wear the persecutions or the comments, maybe boldly, maybe take a step in boldness as you're being persecuted. Now here's the issue. Verse 8, he says, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me. Ouch. See, it's not a surprise to God. Where they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they do also unto thee. Now, this is a great reference back to 7, verse 3. Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, to return to the Lord and put away your gods and serve him only, and he'll deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And he started to do that, and Samuel lived that way his entire life, only to find out that at the end of his entire life, they say what? We don't want you. Except they're not saying we don't want you. God says they're saying we don't want God. And they haven't changed Samuel. Okay? The return that you called for, they didn't return. So do you think Christians are returning to God right now in this country because of the election or because of policies or because, I mean, I don't know. I watch when money was being handed out from Washington, you know, and since it wasn't like, you know, actual money that says in God we trust on it, you know, you could just as easily have said in Washington we trust. And just, how about Christians who don't need to have money to rule over their lives, for example? Because if there ever was the best replacement for God in the modern world, I would say the most widely spread known idol is mammon, the riches of this material world.
Didn't plan on talking about all that, but there you go. Whoever that's for. The name shall be withheld to protect the guilty. Serving other gods. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. So this is verse 7. Hearken unto the voice of the people. Hearken unto their voice. Listen to them. Give them a king, right? Listen to what the people want. Give them what they want. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them. Again, I looked that up, and it's the duplication of a Hebrew word. And every time you have that, that's their form of emphasis or exclamation. Protest solemnly, it literally is the same Hebrew word, and that's why you get solemnly, and the protest is warn them. Okay? So where's the warning ministry in the church anymore? Okay? Well, that's why, maybe that's why many didn't like the men's conference last year. But a lot did. Right? Now therefore, hearken unto the voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now I like this, because I know that the ruler of this world has his influence in the world, and whenever man reigns over man, usually it's to the hurt of whatever government it is, ruling over to the hurt of another. Jeremiah 11:7. Don't you like studying the Bible? I mean, it's better than Facebook. What's that video game you play? Oh, it's better than that. I almost drew you in. Jeremiah 11:7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. That's a loving father. Right? So unto you, right? Again, any children or you have parents, so I'll just talk to the parents. You should be protesting solemnly to your children about the ways of the Lord, about obeying the voice of the parent. Children, obey your parents in all things. So Jeremiah 11:7, that's God talking. Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah writes it down. The very next verse, yet they obeyed not. Okay, that's enough for that. Protesting solemnly, show them the manner the king shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. Now, I'm going to do this in this way for you. And in 11, he will take. In 13, he will take. 14, he will take. 15, he will take. 16, he will take. 17, he will take. See that? So, what's the number of man? Six. Right? One short of completeness. Number of God, right? And you think of that, the number of God is three, the triune God, and then the completeness. So man is always left short. The best man to rule the world that all of history will be able to present, and Satan, the ruler of the world, will be all upon that. He is signified in a perfect trinity of the number of man of 666, or the unholy, if you will. Okay, and when I describe it, this God would have ruled over them. In fact, when you read Jeremiah, that Jeremiah, what the Lord is saying to him, the Lord takes him back to Egypt when they were still slaves,
and was pleading with them, protesting solemnly, warning them to obey his voice. And Jeremiah, if you catch it, it's the final word as the last king is put away. So you get it in the beginning, and then you get it from Samuel right as they're asking for a king. A king who will do what? Who will take? So every form of government, right? Whenever man forms a government, what do you know will be happening? They will be taking from you. Okay? Now it's interesting that the Holy Spirit in worship tonight has said very clear that God never takes from you. And I'm looking at this, and so here it is. Welcome back. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint for them for himself, for his chariots, for his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. Okay? He will appoint them captains over thousands and fifties, set them up to ear his ground, to reap his harvest, to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries. Is that what you were, Gabby, a confectionary? But no more. There you're free. To be cooks. You were one of those. To be bakers. Okay, so he will take. Verse 14, he will take your fields, vineyards, olive yards, best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards, and give to his officers and his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. And this might be as close as we can get to God saying, I told you so. But would it startle you if between you and God, if you would make your trust in the things of this world and insist that God give you things in this world and not just trust in him, but God, you're going to have to give me something more to trust in. To only find out that the things you trust in leave you wanting, and you cry out to God and say, God, and in that day, God will hear you because of his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting thing? Oh, the grace of God that has come to us through Christ Jesus. I don't think a single one of us in the room would want to base God hearing our prayers on our obedience. See, and yet this is what he is solemnly warning them, that if you ask for a king and he takes all this from you, don't whine and complain to me about all that he took from you. Therefore, stop whining and complaining about your taxes. Or whatever else that is. I mean, seriously. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey. They did in Jeremiah's day. They disobeyed. They resisted. Now, somewhere I think there's going to be a genuine church who's going to obey the Holy Spirit. Someplace, somewhere. And if you take heed unto the things that the Spirit has said to us, is let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit says. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Think of the implications of revival, and there being a spiritual solution, and there being a call for the church to put away their idolatry, to put away the worship of, again, I'll use the context of 7:3, the worship of all the sexual perversions that were made legal in the world. Now's the time for the church to say they've got to go. Not because of any government. The people chose a king, even after all the warning. And verse 20 says why? That we also may be like all the nations. Now back to the seeker-sensitive leadership seminars that are simulcast to the churches, church growth. Leaders of business from Apple, from Google, from, you go right down the list, CEOs of this company, leaders of, presidents of divisions of this company. What are they talking about? Well, that's the church saying, no, we don't want the Holy Spirit to do a work. We want, if it works for corporate America, we want that too. The church is not a business, a committee, or a board. A song stuck in my head. I don't know if Jay Beach wrote that song, but he sang it, and it had a catchy tune to it. And I just look at this. That we may also be like the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Do you remember the last battle we just studied? Who fought that battle? God did. Now, I've been separating for us the precious from the vile, if I may be as bold to identify. There's a difference between wisdom that comes from God and wisdom of this world. And I've been pleading with you all to put your trust in God in your trials, difficulties. If someone sins against you, right, and it hurts and they harmed you, don't play the victim and go, right, to the world. Get with God and forgive and be set free from the other person's sin. Now, I could go right through the list, but this whole thing, who fights our battles? Thompson Chain number 3915, worldliness. Do you catch the theme for tonight? Now, does anybody has a Thompson Chain Bible? I'm astonished. Maybe everybody does. You do. Yours even got your name on it. It has your wife's name before you were married. It's a prophetic name on your Bible. You knew this was going to happen. Worldliness. Now, you've been hearing me talk a lot about the shallow heart. Not being able to endure with the word of God when afflictions come. Why is that related to tonight? Because when afflictions or trouble comes into our life, now I'll just get depression, whatever these things that come into our life, and you turn to the world. Now, the internet used to not be there. So you would actually have to make a phone call. Or you would have to diagnose what's wrong. And where do I turn? Now, I don't have to know where to turn. I just turn to the internet and then I turn where they tell me to turn. Now, as I overlay this, that we might be like all the kings and that the king might fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Now this is not rehearsal like for a play. Rehearsed is he repeated them. God, did you hear what they said? Now I pray like this sometimes. God, they said this and then they said that. And then this is going on. You got to do something. And the Lord said to Samuel, now if you haven't caught this yet, this is the third time. What does it mean when God says something once? Right? What does it mean when God says something twice? What does it mean when he says it three times? Hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Now, do you know this truth? God will not make you, right, turn away from the world. God will not make you put your idol away. God will not make you do any of that stuff. You have to rise up and let the conviction of the Holy Spirit fall upon your life and get up and say, I will not live like the world. I'm born again. I'm born of the Holy Spirit. And since I'm born from above, I'm going to walk in wisdom from above. Now, here's the sneaky part. What's the sneaky part? Wisdom from below is deceptive. So you need to discern, and you need to know what these things are. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said unto every man of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. We're not going to get through 9. So whoever adjusts the calendar for teaching, we didn't get through 9, so tonight was 1 Samuel 8, 9 and 10 for next week, whoever you are. And then whoever's editing the web page, this isn't 1 Samuel 8, 9, it's 1 Samuel 8. Now, I offer this up to you. Not of this world. Can you wear that as a between you and the Lord? Not of this world. Not of this world's ways. Now, here's my solemn warning to you, and it's been prophesied about, that there would come a day when there would be a Christian alternative to all the things that are in the world. Just as there were amusement parks in the world, there'd be Christian amusement parks. There's music in the world, there would be Christian music. Just as there are dance clubs in the world, there would be Christian dance clubs. Christian bars. What's going on? There are those who go to bars and host Bible studies in beer together. It's been going on for a long time. Now, what am I calling us unto? Same thing I've been saying all along. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life in this world, he who loses it for Jesus' sake, will keep it for all of eternity. Now, I just offer up to you, serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to remind you, Samuel's not done. But here's what they get in exchange. Sneak peek preview for next week. Chapter 9, verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man. Right? We don't want the old ways. Right? We don't want prayer and hearing from God. Give us someone who can make something happen that's exciting. Give us a young man. Give us a goodly person, maybe goodlier than everybody else. Okay? So that's your sneak preview. And the children of Israel get what they ask for. But guess what? Samuel's not done. In fact, Samuel's going to persist all the way through, right? Almost to the end of Saul's life. Saul's a young man. Saul is not done. Now, just a word to all those men out there who are quitting, right, the ministry. Don't quit. Right? Samuel had to face what? The people didn't want what he was saying anymore. Some will. Right? So, Heavenly Father, You left us in this world. And you gave us the Holy Spirit so we wouldn't be alone in this world. And we're not of this world. So Lord, we turn to you. We are not looking for a political solution to the trouble that's in this world. A financial expert who saves money for the and or economies and taxes and power and greatness of this world. Lord, that's not of us. Your kingdom's not of this world. So we take heed and we pray now and look for the answer now. And Lord, we know that perilous times are still here. Even as you warned the children of Israel that the king, it wasn't going to be so great having a king. Lord, we know that there are not political solutions in the spiritual issue. Lord, we're watching a world give a material, carnal solution only to make it worse. We cry out to you tonight that you would give us the Holy Spirit and you would speak to us and we would be a church that obeys your voice and there would be a great turning to you. Even amongst the peoples that worship other gods, there would be repentance and mercy. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.